2, actually verse 2. So we know that Jesus has entered Capernaum and that it was reported that he was at home. Verse 2. So many people gathered together that there, so many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, carried by four men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic. "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up, picked up the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, let's talk about that faith.
Okay. You know, to really understand this properly, you need to read Matthew and Luke's narrative as well. Here Mark says, talks about the house being crowded and Jesus preaching the word. But if you get it all together, you'll find that it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, number one, Jesus always talking, preaching, teaching the word of God, okay? Now, nobody that we have any record of with either of the Gospels is receiving anything. They're just there, and he's teaching or preaching the word. But there are some men that have faith that if they can get this friend, this paralytic man, to Jesus, that he'll be healed. Now I'm going to just stop right there and I'll just count down a minute here. They had confidence in the power of God. How many people today have confidence that if I could just get that person to church, or if I could just get that person, I know God will heal them. But not many people have that kind of confidence. You with me? Because they've got their eyes on people instead of their eyes on God. But these guys are persistent. When they get there, what's happening? The spectators are in the way. That's an amazing thing. Spectators oftentimes get in the way of legitimate needs being met. But these friends are so persistent, they're not going to give up. And so they go up and take the tiling off of the roof and let the man down. Now, here's what I want us to look at. It says when they let the man down, it says when Jesus saw their faith, he said. Now, I want to talk about seeing your faith. If you turn with me to James chapter 2 and look at verse 18. These pages to turn. James chapter 2 and verse 18, James is confronting people that they're talking about faith. He says in 17 that faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. He said, yes, a man will say, you have faith and I have worked. Show me your faith without your works. You got that part? Show me your faith without your works. Can't do it. He said, I will show you my faith by my works. Jesus saw their faith, how? By their works. They weren't just talking and wishing and hoping. Let me tell you something. You have to be pretty confident of a man's healing if you're going to take the roof off somebody's house. They believed it when they let him down. Now, what I'm seeing today is people talking about faith, but they won't believe until after the fact. That's not faith. Why would I believe for something I already have? Faith is believing what your natural eyes can't see. Faith is believing what your senses are defying. They're saying it's non-existent. Faith says it is. I've got the evidence in my heart. Now I'm telling you, a lot of people are faltering today in faith. I was thinking, it was either yesterday or today, how Jesus said when the Lord comes back to earth, will He find faith? Will He find faith on earth? And I just said out loud to Him, no wonder you said that. Because what I'm seeing today is not a lot of faith. There's a lot of wishing and hoping. But God speaks and people get on the bandwagon, and then when it doesn't happen like they think it's supposed to happen, they say it didn't work. My God does not fail. And if that word came from God, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass in His time, whether you believe it or not. God does not operate in the natural arena. He operates out of the Spirit and manifested in the natural. He does not operate in time. Eternity doesn't operate in time. You with me? But we want to put God on a timetable. Now, Lord, I need you to do something by such and such a time. Or if you do this, I'll believe it. I've had people say, I want you to pray for me, and if this doesn't happen by such and such a time, I'm going to do this. I say, well, there's no use in me praying. God doesn't have plan Bs. Either we lay it all on the line and believe, or we go ahead and tell ourselves, I don't have faith. Good friend of mine says, if your faith's not working, try honesty. Be honest before God. You understand? Even the guy with a lunatic son says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, I'm not getting the job done like I need to. I need help. I need revelation. God is looking for a demonstration of faith, not people talking about how much faith they have. And I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've heard it. I just haven't seen a lot of it. God's severing. You're going to see the people who walk by faith, and you're going to see the people who walk by sight. But the just live by faith. You understand? Now, I just wanted to bring that out here. How do I know if you're in faith? By your works. You'd be surprised how many people have come to tell me and they give me this song and dance, they're in faith, they're in faith. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just bold enough now, I'm going to say, no, you're not. If you were, you wouldn't be coming to me questioning why hasn't it happened. If you were in faith, you was already persuaded. If you persuaded, then what's the question? If you have it, why are you waiting to get it? I'm going to tell you one. I know when I'm in faith. And when I get it on the inside, God speaks to me on the inside. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. God said it, that settled it. Whether you believe it or not, it's a settled deal. And so the individual has to believe what God said. And when you do, you get the result. So he just saw their faith and he says, this is interesting. He's paralyzed, but he says, your sins are forgiven. Now that put the religious leaders on tilt. Now you see who's in the house, the critics. They come to church every Sunday. How dare he speak blasphemies? Who does he think he is to give sin? People say the same thing today, but Jesus said in John 20, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they retain. What you need to do is go into the Word of God and get some knowledge before you start criticizing. He says, which is easier? To say something you can't see or to say something you can see? To forgive sins, you don't see it, right? But if a paralytic man gets up and walks, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, buddy. You understand? There's some power been released. But he said, just to show you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, he turned to the paralytic man and said, get up and walk. That guy getting up and walking demonstrated that Jesus had the authority to forgive sin. Now their attention is not on that, it's on, wow, this guy's walking. We've never seen it done like this before. You know, there's going to be some people saying that this year. We've never seen it done like this before. Why? Because God's power is going to be released to the believer. Not the doubter, not the wisher, not the hoper, not the procrastinator that's waiting for it sometime tomorrow, but the person that receives it today. Faith is now, not future. It's now. You've got it now. Well, I don't see it. That's because you're not in faith. I see it. Abraham saw himself as the father of many nations when nobody was seeing. Changed his name. Did it come to pass? Absolutely. Why? Because God can't lie. God said it. And we've got to get established. As born-again believers, we must get established in the integrity of God. That if God says it, it is true. And anything that says it's not true, even your eyes and ears, then it's a lie. And your eyes will lie to you. Your ears will lie to you. And if you're looking at the news, you are hearing liars upon liars. And you're watching lies. But if you get into this right here, you'll see and hear truth. You follow me? These people saw an example of truth. Not only did Jesus say it, he could back his words up. I can forgive sins and I can heal him too. And to show you that I can forgive sin, I'm going to heal him. I can say I forgive sins and you can criticize that. Say, he did. Those sins weren't forgiven. But tell me that paralytic's not walking. You understand the full magnitude of what's taking place here? It was a demonstration. God likes to demonstrate. He doesn't show off. He just shows who He is. Okay?
Okay. Verse 13. Then Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to Him, and He taught them. Then moving on, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he got up and followed him.
that just shows you the mercy of God that he would even call an IRS agent to be a disciple. Now, that's mercy. You understand? Tax collector, right? Okay. It just goes to show the mercy of God. Notice that God's not picking the governors and the kings, or Jesus is not picking the governors and the kings to be his disciples. He's actually picking outcasts, tax collector, ignorant fishermen. Never been to Bible college. How do they know how to preach? You see, that's the attitude of people today. If you hadn't gotten Bible college, then you got to be dumb as a wall. You can't teach. You can't preach. If you don't do it our way, it can't be right. But see, God doesn't know that. And God wants to take the simple that are not prideful in their education and all this other stuff, but people who will hear God and obey God, they're the ones that will do exploits for God. You want to add to that? Go ahead.
We talked about this the last class. You remember, I think it was the last class, I mentioned what Jane used to say when we were at Hasty together. She would say, the Lord doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And how true that is. But being an educator in the secular system, I know what it means to seek a degree and to seek advancement, to have a piece of paper hanging on your wall, and to have all of your, what you hold valuable as the credentials you think that's going to advance you by the world standards, to be on a sheet of paper. I'm going to tell you what happens if you lose that sheet of paper. You send in a check and they send you another one. I know that by experience.
You can have a piece of paper hanging on the wall and be as dumb as a wall is hanging on. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people today are graduating with a four-year education, a six-year master's degree, and they're ignorant. They don't even have walking around sense. And you're getting that with the preachers graduating from the Bible colleges. Listen, if you're not teaching and preaching the truth of God's Word, then your labor is in vain. It's actually counterproductive to the kingdom of God.
But you think about what was just spoken about the simplicity in all of this. I want to get back to that word, the simple. Simple-minded was just spoken not too long ago. When you read this account, and we'll read similar accounts later, Jesus said, follow me. And immediately, he got up and he followed Jesus. There's simplicity in that, you understand? There's not, well, you know, I need to wait till the end of, I need to give a 2-week notice. You know, all that stuff we get tied up in. Here's the lesson. Again, I try to, and y'all bear with me. But when I read this word, I think, okay, Lord, what are the principles here that I need to know, that I need to put into action in my own life? And to me, we hear it a lot. The Lord speaks it, hear and obey. That's exactly what happened with Levi. He heard the invitation, and he obeyed. He acted upon that. So, let's think about that with our own lives. The Lord is asking you to follow him. Obey. Just follow.
You know, this is childlike faith. And Jesus said that if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, then you'll have to enter like a child. It's a childlike faith. This is not a complicated thing. Follow me. Okay. It's that simple. Follow me. This man quit his business to follow Jesus. Now, would he do that if he didn't have faith in him? You see, in his faith by his works. You understand? But the simplicity of it. There's a lot of people talking about following Jesus, but they're waiting. They're waiting. And when Jesus, you look at Jesus calling these apostles, then it was immediate. They left their net. They walked away from their fishing business. They walked away from the tithes collection or whatever. Now, we're not telling you that God's going to call you and everybody's going to quit their job. That's not what we're saying at all. It says when God calls you, respond immediately and just use the childlike faith that you're seeing here. If He says, follow me, follow Him. It's that simple. You're following Him by the Spirit. With me? You're not advising Him. You're not telling God where you want to go. You're following His lead. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are not led by the Spirit of God are children of the world. You're following the ways of the world, not the ways of God. Natural thinking versus spiritual thinking. That's what we're saying. Okay?
And when you think about this too, and we're going to read this account later, we know that the Father is the provider. And so you follow with the understanding that the Father's going to take care of you. That there are times that we don't have to have every little detail planned out. Now, I'm not saying that we should be foolish in areas. And there's wisdom in planning. But what I'm saying is we don't always have to know the why. We don't always have to know all the details. And according to this account that we just read, I don't believe that Levi knew every single detail before he followed. Something to think about with that. Let's look at verse 15 together. While he was reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also guests with Jesus and his disciples, because there were many who were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners."
Now, you got something you want to say?
You go ahead.
Okay. Let's look at this. This is really, think about it, this is the religious people, Judaism, okay? These are the religious people, zealots for the law and all that type stuff. They're the Jews, and everybody else can go to hell. That's their attitude. You understand? That's the way a lot of church people are today, the religious elite. You with me? And so when you see God call somebody and then go to an outcast's house and have a meal with him, sit down, and he's invited his friends, they're outcasts, you understand? Why is he over there eating with sinners? I mean, everybody knows that the religious people are supposed to group with the religious people and let the world go to hell. That's the attitude. They wouldn't say it that way with their mouth, but they do it with their actions. And Jesus sets the record straight. You know where the sinners are? Go get them. Go where they are, not to wallow in their sin, to get them out of their sin. He didn't go to the house to participate in sin. He went to their house as a witness. You with me? And then he had to tell them, "I didn't come to call righteous. If you're righteous, you're righteous." They just thought they were. He said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." And that's what he's doing today. And I've had people to tell me we wouldn't let people like that come to our church. Well, it's not a church of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ reaches out to the outcast. Jesus Christ reaches out to the rejects. Jesus reaches out to those who are unlovable. You know, while we were ungodly, Christ died for our sins. Why is it we think everybody else has to be godly before they can come to church? If they'll hang around church long enough, they're going to get so convicted that they're going to yield, or they can get so miserable they'll stop coming. If we're really presenting the Word of God as we're supposed to be presenting, the Spirit of God will make you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, I've stood in church as a sinner and they start giving the altar call and I'm wanting to get out of there. I'm not comfortable with that. You're afraid God might tell on you. But you know, you hang around long enough and finally you get your eyes open. The Spirit of God starts dealing with you as an individual, not man dealing with you now, but God dealing with you. When God deals with you serious, now you have the revelation of who you really are. Men can condemn you. Men can make you uncomfortable. God will go straight to the heart of the matter and reveal to you who you are. Now what are you going to do about it? You understand? This is what the church is supposed to be doing. The church is supposed to be presenting Jesus in such a way it's not condemning anybody. But it has the presence of God emanating from it that a sinner is not comfortable in the presence of God. And so he's got to do one of two things. Stop going to church, which is what I did initially. It got so bad, I'm out of here for years. Okay? Or to get on your face before God and repent. Ask for the mercy of God, and that's the best way. You understand? God is reaching out to the sinner. God is reaching out to the outcast. He'll tell the religious people, but if you don't want Him, then He won't force Himself on you. And He'll say, you go ahead and follow your father. Your father's the devil. You're just calling him God. You don't even know who you're worshiping. And I'm going to tell you, that's for many people in church today don't even know who they're worshiping. They worship in a form, not a person. Not personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going for personal relationship. Amen? Amen.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, we've been, just a second.
Okay.
We've been talking, we've been hearing lately about God's ways and knowing God's ways. Do you understand that everything we've been reading this tonight has revealed to us God's ways? So we don't have to wonder. We know His ways. We know that His ways, that He has compassion. We know His way is to heal. We know that He honors faith. We know that. We know that He sees inside of our hearts. He knows. People can put on a show, but He knows the heart. We know that He extends invitation. So do you understand everything that we've been hearing tonight? It's just illumination of God's ways. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. Those who hate you, be before you. Amen. You guys that are not taking the test, you go ahead and have a good day.